was grace that brought my liberty. Oh, I do not know just why. For that tonight. Oh, I shall forever lift mine eyes to Calvary to view the cross where Jesus died for me. How much
stand.
I don't know what you came to do, but I came to praise my Lord. Oh, I don't know what you came to do, but I came to praise the Lord. I don't know what you came to do, but I came. Oh,
to praise my Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah.
Are you glad tonight in the Lord? Amen. It's good to be in church.
He has made me glad. Oh, he has made me glad. I will rejoice, for he has made me glad. Oh, he has made me glad. Yes, he has made me glad. I will rejoice, for he has made me glad. And I will enter his gates with thanksgiving in my heart. I will enter his courts with praise. I will say this is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice, for he has made me glad. Oh, he has made me glad. Oh, he has made me glad. I will rejoice, for he has made me glad. He has made me glad. I will rejoice, for he has made me glad. And I will enter his gates with thanksgiving in my heart. I will enter his courts with praise. Oh, I will say this is the day.
Why don't you take your neighbor by the hand and tell him how good God's been?
Giving in my heart, I will enter his courts with praise. I will say this is the day that the Lord hath made. I will rejoice, for he has made me glad. Oh, he has made me glad. He has made me glad. I will rejoice, for he has made me glad. Yes, he has made me glad. He has made me glad. I will rejoice, for he has made me glad.
Amen. Let's give him a hand clap of praise. Amen. We love you, Lord. We sure have a lot to be glad about tonight. Amen. We serve a good God. Sure, been rejoicing in my heart from the blessing and outpouring of last night. Looking forward to what he has for us tonight. Amen. Sure is good to be in church. I have a prayer request here from Sister Anna Pierce. She said, my Aunt Sarah requested prayer for her cousin's husband, Matt Spencer. He has cancer, and the doctors have given him a month or two to live. So, amen. What a needy request, but we know God is more than able. So, if you have an unspoken prayer request, if you make that known by an uplifted hand, God sees your hand, and he knows that need. Brother Brad. Brother Brad, would you come up and pray over the prayer request for us? Good to have him here visiting with us. And God bless you to all of our visitors. It's good to have you.
So I'll pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for an opportunity to come back into your house one more time, Father. Lord, we're still rejoicing over the service last night, God, how you come down and spoke to our hearts, God, and we believe many needs were met, Father. But, Lord, we were fed last night, but tonight, God, we come hungry again, Lord. And we expect to be here, be fed by the Word tonight, God. And I pray for Brother Aaron, Lord, as you seen what he has studied and placed before him, Lord. And I just pray, God, that your Spirit would just come and speak through him, Lord, and hear through us, God. And these requests that was mentioned, Lord, is this cancer, Father. We know that cancer is nothing but a toothache to you. Father, we know you could touch it, Father, right now and do it, Lord. And every hand that was raised, you know the need behind that hand. May you move upon each heart, Father. May you feel welcome in this service and walk up and down these aisles and minister to us, God. And we'll give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen.
God bless you. You may be seated. At this time, we have a special from Sister Sarah Yance.
Well, if you want to know where I'm going, where I'm going, someday soon. If anybody asks you where I'm going, where I'm going, someday soon, you tell them for me, I'm going up yonder, I'm going up yonder, I'm going up yonder to be with my Lord. Oh, I'm going up yonder, I'm going up yonder, I'm going up yonder to be with my Lord. Now I can take the pain, the heartache that this life brings. I got comfort in knowing that I'm gonna soon be gone. As God gives me grace, I'm gonna run this race until I see my Savior.
I'm not-
Praise the Lord. That's wonderful. Sure appreciate that, sister. God bless you. At this time, we have a special from Sister Jessica Adams. Amen. Isn't God good?
Amen.
Sure appreciate these people using their talents for the Lord.
Amen.
That's hard to follow up.
I was just a child when I felt the Savior leading. I was drawn to what I could not understand. But for the cause of Christ, I have spent my days believing that what He'd have me be is who I am. As I've come to see the weaker side of me, I realize His grace is what I'll need. And when sin demanded justice for my soul, mercy said, no, I'm not gonna let you go. I'm not gonna let you slip away. You don't have to be afraid. Mercy said, no, sin will never take control. As life and death stood face and darkness tried to steal my heart away, thank you, Jesus, that mercy said no. For God so loved the world that He sent His Son to save us. From the cross He built a bridge to set us free, oh, but deep within our hearts, there is still a war that rages, and it makes the sacrifice so hard to see. And as evil tried to stop But thank you, Jesus, that mercy said no. Darkness tried to steal my heart away. Thank you, Jesus, that mercy said no.
You thankful for mercy tonight? Amen. Sure appreciate our special singing. Amen. So good to feel the presence of the Lord here this evening. Let's stand.
Oh Lord, 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 you've surely been good to me. Oh Lord, 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 you've surely been good to me. Oh Lord, 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 you've surely been good to me. Oh, you have done what this world could never do. You've done much more than I deserve. You've surely been good to me. You've done much more than I deserve. You've surely been good to me. You've done much more than I deserve. You've surely been good to me. You have done what this world could never do. You saved my soul when I was lost. You've surely been good to me. Done what this world could never do. Oh, you showed me the message and gave me peace. You've surely been good to me. You showed me the message, gave me peace. You've surely been good to me. You showed me the message, gave me peace. You've surely been good to me. You have done what this world could never do. Oh, Lord, 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 oh, you've surely been good. Surely been good to me. You have done what this world could never do. Then you showed me the message, gave me peace. Surely been good to me. Oh, you showed me the message, gave me peace. Surely been good to me. You showed me the message, gave me peace. Surely been good to me. Lord, you have done what this world could never do. Oh, Lord, 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 you've surely been good to me. Oh, Lord, 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 you've surely been good to me. Oh, has he been good to you tonight? He's surely been good to me. He has done what this world could never do. Oh, he filled me with the Holy Ghost. Surely been good to me. He filled me with the Holy Ghost. He's surely been good to me. He filled me with the Holy Ghost. Surely been good to me. He has done what this world could never do. Oh, Lord, 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 you've surely been good to me. Oh, Lord, 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 you've surely been good to me. Oh, Lord, 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 you've surely been good to me. You have done what this world could never do.
Amen. Is that how you feel about it tonight? Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. Good to be in church again tonight. Amen. How many appreciate the outpouring of the Holy Spirit we had last night? Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Certainly appreciate Brother Timothy yielding to the Lord last night and allowing him to use him. And I told the brothers after service, I said, that's just not fair. The first minister up started in Genesis 1:1, went all the way to the back of the book. So he didn't leave a whole lot for him to cover, I guess. But But I'm sure they'll find something in between there that'll bless us. And you know, there's something about the Word of God. It's eternal. And as I've said before, you know, we've heard somebody, you know, get up and preach on David and Goliath 557 times. But every time we hear it, there's somebody that has a new anointing on it or a different perspective. And I like Brother Timothy. I thought, my, why didn't I think of that last night? He was looking at it from Goliath's point of view, and I'd never thought of it like that. And it, just things like that. His word's eternal, so we, as minister brothers, you know, different ones have different personalities and different things they look at differently, different gifts and different ways that we study. And so a man can pick up something and you know, some of the rest of us sit back and think, it was right there the whole time, Brother Will. Why didn't I see that? But I appreciate that about the Lord, that he's a God of variety. And so we've got a brother with us tonight. They say that he's the long-winded one of the group, so just get comfortable tonight and loosen up your tie if you need to. And Brother Aaron Oglesby from Louisiana, he married Brother Tim's daughter, Lydia, and so he's part of the family, too, and we're certainly glad. Not only is he part of the Pruitt family, but he's part of the family of God, and so... Amen. Good to have him with us tonight. And he's also an English teacher, so I don't know. We may get all kinds of... Or a history teacher, I'm sorry. A history teacher. We may get all kinds of history. I've preached under an English teacher, and that's hard because they correct your grammar and your pronunciation, all kinds of things. But he's, I think, a middle school history teacher. So, you know, I think even somebody with a gift like that, it sometimes brings out things in a different perspective. But I'm not here to preach tonight, so I'm going to turn the service over to him. But let's sing that together as we do. Lord, 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 you've surely been good to me. Amen. Turn around to somebody and tell them tonight, he's been good to me.
Oh, Lord, 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 you surely been good. Something for you that nobody could do for you, that the world couldn't do for you, and the world can't take it away. We serve an awesome God. Amen. You know, I heard Sister Jessica say it was hard to stand up and follow Sister Sarah's song. I thought both those songs were wonderful. Amen. But it's hard to stand up here and follow up Brother Timothy after after what he did last night. I decided I'd just preach from the maps there in the back of the book. Since some good stuff there, and I know a lot about geography, so. No, it's like Brother Nathan said, God's word's eternal, and we could preach every day, and we would never touch it. We would never touch it. I'm so thankful for a message. I'm so thankful for a God that didn't leave us in this end time in Laodicea, wandering around in the darkness, but he sent the light, and he allowed us to receive the light. I'm so thankful for that. Let's go to him in prayer now. Gracious Father, Lord, once again I come to you and just ask you, Lord God, to take control of this service. Lord, take complete control of my flesh. Lord, I know that within myself there's nothing I can say, there's nothing I can do, Lord, that would benefit these people in any way. But Lord God, if you'd just come by tonight, if you'll take control of the vessel, Lord, if you'll speak to these people, Lord God, there's things of eternal value that can take place. Lord, I pray tonight that not only you take control of my mouth, Lord, and shut it where there's things you don't want said, Lord, and you'll speak exactly what you want said, but Lord, take control of the ears of the people today, Lord. Lord, open them to your word, Lord. Prepare the ground, Lord. I pray that the word will fall on good ground tonight, Lord. Lord, and that your enemy, the devil, will be conquered. He'll be cast out, and his kingdom be torn down once again. Lord, that is our desire, Lord God, that we lift up the kingdom of God, that we lift up the people of God, that the word is elevated, Lord, and that Satan is cast down. Lord, I pray you have your way, that you'll bless the word as we go forth now in Jesus' name. Amen. If you'll turn with me to Exodus 2 and verse 23. You know, right before I was going to, Brother Nathan left to come out here. I'm so thankful he did. At the last minute, he told me, he said, now there's two doors. He said, if you go straight, you're going to walk out in the baptismal. And I said, that's exactly what I would have done. If I had to pick a direction, I would have went straight. I know I would have. And at that point, I'd have just had to say, y'all are dismissed. And we'd have had to go to the house. But he told me the right way. And I'm thankful for that. Exodus 2, verse 23. Says, and it came to pass in the process of time that the king of Egypt died, and the children of Israel sighed by reason of the bondage. And they cried, and their cry came up unto God by reason of the bondage. And God heard their groaning, and God remembered his covenant with Abraham, with Isaac, and with Jacob. Are you glad tonight that he remembers everything he's told you? He remembers every promise he's ever made. Hallelujah. If you would also turn with me to Mark chapter 5, I want to read one more place while I have you standing. Mark chapter 5. We'll start at verse 1. I love this portion of Scripture. I love how Brother Branham would talk about it and dramatize it, because it lets us know that no matter where you're at tonight, no matter the situation you find yourself in, you are not beyond the reach of mercy. Amen. You are not beyond the reach of grace. You have not gone too far. You wouldn't be here with a hunger in your heart if you'd gone too far tonight. Amen. Chapter 5 and verse 1. And they came over unto the other side of the sea, into the country of the Gadarenes. And when he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit, who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no man could bind him, no, not with chains. Because that he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces, neither could any man tame him. And always, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. But when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshipped him, and cried with a loud voice, and said, what have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not. Notice, when Jesus came into the presence of a devil, Jesus was not tormented. They recognized his authority and his power, and they began to beg him, I adjure thee, please do not torment me. And I love that picture of the tormentor begging to not be tormented. Verse 8 says, for he said unto him, come out of the man, thou unclean spirit. And he asked him, what is thy name? And he answered, saying, my name is Legion, for we are many. And he besought him much that he would not send them away out of the country. What I love about this scripture, and what struck me, is I said, the problem here is it said no man could bind him. See, the problem is there was too many men trying to bind Legion, and there hadn't been one come along yet that was trying to set him free. But on this day, a man showed up that wasn't there to bind him, that wasn't there to tame him, and that wasn't there to hold him down. But a man showed up to set him free. And I believe that same man is in this building tonight in the Holy Spirit. And if you're bound, I believe he's here to set you free. Amen. You can have your seats tonight. As you're having a seat, I'm going to read from another portion of Scripture, another account of the same story in Matthew 8. If you'd like to turn there, that's fine. But I'm going to go ahead and read Matthew 8 and verse 29. And it says, and behold, they cried out, saying, what have we to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God? Art thou come hither to torment us before the time? And I want you to keep that in mind, that they said this, and we'll come back to it later. But they said, art thou come here to torment us before the time? And there was a good way off from them a herd of many swine feeding. So the devils besought him, saying, if thou cast us out, suffer us to go away into the herd of swine. What we know is that God's timing is absolutely perfect. We know that our God is not a time being. We know that he is not one that's bound by the confines of time like we are. He is not a God of time, but he is a God of timing. Everything is set in order. And we as humans, we're time beings, and so oftentimes we become anxious. We expect things to happen at a certain time because we're bound by time constraints. And when God gives a word, we think, well, surely it's going to happen now. Surely it has to take place by this point. If we're honest, most of us thought that the rapture would have already taken place, especially some that's been in the way for a long time. They didn't expect to still be here because we look at things through the confines of time. But since God is not a time being and he knows the end, from the beginning, he doesn't have that feeling of when. He doesn't have that anxiousness. He doesn't wonder how things are going to take place. And why is this? Because he is eternal and he knows the end from the beginning. He knows exactly when the things that you need to take place in your life are going to take place. He knows exactly when you're going to end up in a trial. He knows exactly when that trial is going to end. And he's not worried about it. And I'm glad tonight to know that I serve a God that there's no trial that has snuck up on him. Nothing has caught him off guard. He knew exactly where we would be tonight. He knew you would be in this service. He knew where you would sit. And he knew exactly what your need was, and I can promise you, according to the word, he's already supplied your every need. He is Jehovah Jireh. If he was Jehovah Jireh then, he is Jehovah Jireh now, and there is nothing tonight that's too big or too hard for our God, and he's not worried about a thing. I'm glad tonight to know that. So God isn't worried today because he knows the answer to the question, when? Of course, he knows the answer to every question, but that's the one that bothers us. That's the one that makes us anxious. That's the one that makes us worry. And he knows the answer to the question when. So the when question is already settled in his mind. But we as creatures of time, God has set certain predestinated moments or certain times for all things to take place. We as individuals have certain appointments that are predestinated of God. There's many examples of it in the scripture, but Genesis 18, 14 says, is there anything too hard for the Lord? At the time appointed, I will return unto thee. So even though he is not a time being, for our sakes, he sets times and he oftentimes will operate in a time setting for us. Exodus 9, 5, and the Lord appointed a set time. Also in Acts 7:17, but when the time of the promise drew nigh. In other words, these are predestinated moments by God. They are predestinated to happen at a certain moment. We don't know when it is, and so therefore we have to walk by faith. We have to walk trusting the word says it, so I know it's going to take place. For instance, there was a moment in time where this message came across your path. Aren't you glad about that tonight? There was a moment in time where you accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior. Now, we know you always belonged to him. We know that you were his before the foundation of the world. But there was a moment in time when you recognized who you were. There was a moment in time, and there was no devil in hell that could keep you from coming to that moment because it was a predestinated moment. The prophet of God said a son of God can go a long time without recognizing who they are. But when the time comes, there's nothing that the enemy can do to keep you from seeing who you are, what authority you have in Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. So God's timing is perfect. And when it's time for something to happen, nothing can stop it. Why? Because it's according to God's time. Predestinated moments can never be stopped by Satan. No matter how much he fights, no matter how much he fusses, there's nothing he can do to hinder you predestinated moments. When the time of the promise draws nigh, there will be fulfillment. We can rest assured in that tonight. When the time of fulfillment draws nigh, listen, whatever it is you're holding on for. Some of you are holding on for a healing. Some of you are holding on for a deliverance. Some of you are holding on for parents or a lost loved one or a son or a daughter. Don't give up, because I'm telling you that the promise, the time of the promise is drawing nigh. Fulfillment could be just one step away. Fulfillment could be in the morning. Fulfillment may be Tuesday. But I'm telling you, he's going to fulfill everything that he has promised. He's more than able to do it. And he's going to do it because our God is faithful. Whatever you're holding on for, you keep holding on, because there's a moment set aside by God for your victory. Listen, the woman at the well had her time. There was a time where he had need to go by Samaria. The devil had tried to do everything he could to stop her. He had buried her life under sin. He probably tried to make her feel sick that morning so she couldn't get down to the well. But there was nothing that was going to keep her away from the well that morning, because there was a predestinated moment. Mary Magdalene had a predestinated moment. There was a moment in time where she was going to meet Jesus face to face. And the devil's probably tried everything they could to keep her away from Jesus, to put every circumstance in front of her. But circumstances will not stop a child of God from breaking through sin, breaking through the concrete, as it were, and reaching towards the light. And there is no sin, no devil, nothing that is going to stop this predestinated bride of Jesus Christ from overcoming and taking the rapture that is promised them in this last day. Amen. So Mary Magdalene had her time. And I believe that we've come to a place that it's our time. The devils could fight. They could say what they want, but their time in her was over. Their time in her was finished. See, Jesus never shows up in vain. Jesus never comes by just because. When he comes by to do things. When he comes by, extreme things happen. I believe he showed up here last night, and I believe he did things. I believe he has showed up here once again tonight, and it's not just so we can have a good time. He's here to deliver the sick. He's here to deliver the bound. He's here to save the lost. He's here to draw the backslider back to repentance. He's here to lift you up another notch, to lift your faith up, to grab a hold of everything that God has for you. He's here to elevate your faith, to grab a hold to that rapturing faith that you need to leave this old world. He's here to do the same things that he did when he walked on the shores of Galilee. Amen. I believe it's our time. I believe it. It's time. There's a perfect timing for everything. God's always working. The scripture tells us that he's not slack concerning his promises. He's going to fulfill all that he has promised. There's a promise that I will restore, saith the Lord. There was a promise written in the Bible in Isaiah 7 that a virgin shall conceive. Look, that lay dormant for 700 years. But there came a day, there came a time where a little virgin was on her way down to a well. There came a day where she stepped into that prophecy. There came a time for the fulfillment of that promise. And she said the right words. Be it unto me. There was a promise of a deliverer. I'm so glad she said, be it unto me, to where that promise of that deliverer could begin to unfold. Amen. Because Adam's race had lost everything. Yeah. Adam's race had fallen. I love how Brother Branham talks about Arnold Van Winkler, I believe. Yeah, Winkler, there in Switzerland. And how they were facing an army that they could not defeat. Their men with pitchforks and shovels and sticks and things of that nature facing a great mighty invasion. But he said, this day I'll give my life for Switzerland. And he opened up his arms and he says, make way for liberty. And when Adam's race was completely lost, when everything was fallen, when darkness was pushing in, when the prophets had failed, the law had failed, everything had failed, there was one that came down that could not fail. He was a virgin born son of the living God. He said, make way for liberty. He ran towards Calvary's hill and he set you free and you free and you free. And he made every one of us free. Make way for liberty. There was a promise and there came a time where it had to be fulfilled. What for? To restore all that Adam had lost. To finish it. He said it is finished. He didn't leave nothing undone. That demon that's bothering you, he said it is finished. That sickness that's bothering you, he said it is finished. You may not have seen the fulfillment or the manifestation of that yet, but the word has been spoken. It is finished and the word cannot fail. Put your faith right there. He came to restore all that Adam had lost. Brother Branham says, Waters of Separation, 1955. And when Christ came to become man here on earth and be a kinsman redeemer, he redeemed man to everything he lost in the fall. Christ restored it to him in the kinsman redeemership. When he died at Calvary, your health, your eternal life, everything that you lost in the fall, Christ redeems you to it. For he's your kinsman redeemer, your health, your strength. Everything that you lost belongs back to you tonight through the Lord Jesus. He became kinfolk to take away sin and sickness. He said it belongs to you. So who is that squatter sitting on your promise tonight? Who is that squatter sitting on your health tonight? Who is that squatter sitting on your joy and sitting on your peace? It belongs to you. Every redemptive promise was given back to you. Tell the squatter he's got to go. He has no rights to you. He was stripped of every right he ever had that day on Calvary. Skipping down in the quote, he says, everything the human race lost in Adam was redeemed when Christ, God himself, become kinfolk with the human race and redeemed it back to his maker. All that was lost, he redeemed back again. What a marvelous picture. What a marvelous picture. He says in 1956, second-handed robe, listen, there is no man that's a healer. Christ is the healer, see? And it's only our faith in the finished work of Christ at Calvary. It's our personal faith, salvation, and healing, and every redemptive blessing was included. Oh, hallelujah. All. Every redemptive blessing was included, and every blessing in the redemption was everything that was caused in the fall. Everything we lost was restored to us in Calvary. Everything. So how did Adam operate in Eden? There was no fear. Not until the fall. Brother Branham would describe how Eve would say, I'm chilly, honey. That wind's a little. You say, peace, be still. Adam operated under the power of the spoken word. And everything has been restored to you. Everything. We oftentimes let that choke us. We oftentimes want to leave that in the past. But according to the prophet, according to the word, he said, I will restore. It's all been restored to you. It's time for us to step up a notch, quit living below our privilege, quit walking around like a bunch of chickens that have been beat down, because that's not what we are. That's not who you are. The devil tells you that he's a liar. You are a flying eagle. You've been called for this day. You've been anointed by a prophet for this day. You have a rapture that you're going to take, and it's time that we start to recognize the authority that we hold and what has been restored and placed in our hands and operate it like sons and daughters of God. He says, he was the first one who had the jurisdiction over everything in the earth. Is that right? Over all the animals. And he lost his power. And we're taught in the Bible what the first Adam lost, the second Adam Christ restored again to the human race. Then friends, if that's so, ministers, what's the matter with the church today? That's what I want to know. If Christ was the missing link between God and man, and he came to hook God and man together again, what is the matter today? It's because of unbelief. It's because of unbelief. Church, we have absolutely no reason in this generation to doubt and to have unbelief. I realize that the Brother Branham would tell us that unbelief is the chief of all demons. And it's something we're going to battle against and we're going to war against, and it's going to attack us. But in this day, the greatest outpouring and manifestation of God's power was displayed to a people. We saw the sick healed. We saw cancer defeated, blind eyes open. We've seen the rankest of sinners saved and brought back to the altar and filled with the Holy Spirit. The greatest message that's ever hit the face of the earth hit in this day. We have no reason to doubt. We have no reason to disbelieve. We ought to be a people of faith, standing upon the word, grabbing hold of every promise and marching forward to victory. We must cast out unbelief. We must cast down doubt. We must believe the word in everything, because this doubt and this unbelief exalts itself up against the word of God. But his word is true. His word is true. His word is true. His promises are yea, and his promises, they are amen. And we must stand there tonight and cast out all this unbelief. Brother Branham says that's why we're not operating where we're supposed to be operating. So all was restored, but then it was all lost down through the church ages. All lost again down through the dark ages, but there was also another promise that laid in the scriptures. The promise of Malachi 4. And there came a time of fulfillment of that scripture as well. I want to say tonight that I believe that Brother William Branham was the fulfillment of Malachi 4. I want to say tonight that I believe, and I'll just put this in human carnal terms, I believe he did an awesome job. I believe he came and he dedicated his life to this message. He delivered this message that was with everything that was in him. And he laid it out and he poured himself out day after day and night after night. He dedicated everything. His family suffered because of it. He gave his all for what? so we can leave it on tape, so we can leave it on a shelf, so we can say we're in the message. No, sir, I don't believe that's what he envisioned at all. I believe the greatest disservice you can do to the ministry of Brother William Branham is to leave that ministry in the past. I believe the greatest disservice you can do is to say that all those miracles were only supposed to happen in his day. It's time that the bride of Jesus Christ quits putting things back in the day of William Branham and quits pushing things forward to the day of millennium. I ain't going to need divine healing in the millennium. I'm going to have a perfect body, but I need it today. I need the same Jesus that was with Brother William Branham in this building tonight. And I know he is because the same pillar of fire has not left the church. The pillar of fire is still with us. The same signs and wonders are still with us. Brother William Branham didn't want the signs and wonders to stop with the wave sheet. He wanted it to turn into a field of men and women who had the same faith and the same ability and the same authority to stand there and say, "Give me my mountain." Hallelujah. He didn't give us this message for us to sit and talk about it. About what God used to do. We're to be the message. Put it in action. The restored word brought restored power. Third pull power in you. That's what we believe. It's time that we as believers of this message, we begin to quit living below our privileges and pushing everything back. This message is absolutely full of power. It is so full of power. And you, listen to me, you have been given the authority to use it. Not just preachers, not elders, not just digging. You, little lady, you, little brother, you, young person, you have been given the authority to use this message. Amen. To put the life of Jesus Christ on display. But it's time that we respond the right way to the word. In my name they shall cast out devils. Be it unto me, Lord. Be it unto me, Lord. There's going to be a church without spot or wrinkle. Be it unto me, Lord. Be it unto me, the works that I do, John 14:12, shall you do also. Be it unto me, Lord. It's time that we begin to respond the proper way. Brother Branham would teach us that saying the right words would cause God to move. Sister Hattie Wright, that's nothing but the truth. God began to move. When the word comes across your path, well, I don't know. God's not moving. I'm not real sure. I mean, I know that's true that Brother Branham did that. And I know Brother Nathan prayed for some people. And then Brother Tim. But God's not moving for you. Until you begin to say, be it unto me. That's my word. That's my promise. That's I have the authority. That's mine. Satan, you move off of it. I'm taking everything that belongs to me. Be it unto me, Lord. And then watch God come on the scene for you and for your need. The prophet of God said, I've never once seen him come into battle that he didn't leave packing the victory. So if you're in a battle tonight, say, be it unto me, Lord. Be it unto me and ask him to move on your behalf. And tonight you will walk out the doors packing the victory in the name of Jesus Christ. Abraham and his seed, 1961. Jesus said, does it say in your own laws, ye are gods? Amen. Why do you condemn me then if your own law says you're gods? He was given a domain. The domain was the earth. The whole earth is groaning and waiting now for the manifestation of the sons of God. If I'm a Branham, I'm a Branham. I'm part of a Branham. And if a man is a son of God, he's made in the image of God and given the domain here on earth to rule this earth like God ruled it. And the second Adam proved it. Amen. He stopped nature. Peace be still. Amen. Cursed the fig tree. Certainly. He was a man, yet he was God. He was a manifested son of God. Everybody wait for it. And that's what we're to be one of these days. Well, I say one of these days has arrived. I say it's time that we quit pushing it forward and pushing it forward. Listen, we can't procrastinate. There's not another age to come. There's not another messenger to come. We can't perpetuate the ages. This is the last age. You are the last people. We are the last voice to the last age. And it's time that we begin to prophesy again. It's time that you raise up and say, this is my word, my message. I'm going to stand on it. I'm taking a body change. I'm taking a rapture. Put your name there. Many are struggling to accept what's happening. That God once again is in flesh. In his bride. doing the works of the Father. And listen, I don't mean any disrespect, but some are stuck on God and a prophet. And listen, you must see that. You must see that. That's not to take away from that. We saw God and a prophet. We saw the ministry of Jesus Christ in this day. But if you stop there, you missed it. If you stop there, you missed it. Look, some can see portions of God, but we must look at what's promised. What's promised in this day? A bride that is bone of his bone, flesh of his flesh. She is him. She has thus saith the Lord, and she knows what he wants done with it. She knows what he wants done with it. I'll tell you what he wants done with it. He wants Satan's kingdom tore down in your life, in your life. He wants homes restored. He wants the sick healed. He wants people to stand up on Satan and walk all over him and say, I will not be denied. He wants an overcoming people. He wants the message in flesh. The demons that held the woman at the well, the demons that held Mary Magdalene, they met Jesus face to face. They met God in flesh. And I'm glad to tell you that we're living in a day where demons are once again. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. Demons are once again having to deal with God in flesh. They're once again having to deal with manifested sons of God, amateur gods walking up and saying, you can't hold my brother. Take your leave. Satan, take your hands off. And the enemy has to go. Because once again, God is in flesh. He's in my flesh. He's in your flesh. He's walking all over. There's a bride on the earth. Every kindred, tongue, and nation. Jesus Christ is once again manifested in flesh. Do we really believe that today? Amen. That you have the power of the spoken word. But if there's something over the mountain, listen to Brother Branham, that you've got to get over there for to do the will of God, and you can't get over it. Under it, around it, and yet something in your heart is telling you to go, you speak the word. Don't you doubt, and maybe when you speak the word, only one little grain of sand will fall. But it's on its road. Amen. The next day a spoonful may drop. The next day a teacup full. You will never notice it, but if you'll just hold steady. Hold fast that which thou hast. Hold fast tonight. Just hold on another day. If you'll just hold steady, knowing that it's being done, after a while, the whole thing is going to fall in. Those walls that are surrounding you, and you spoke to them, and you said, I'm coming through. You haven't seen nothing move yet, but on the other side, the angel of the Lord is just tearing it down. He's tearing it down. He's tearing it down. If you'll just hold on. Just hold on. One of these days, it's just going to crumble right at your feet. And you're going to walk right on in to the promises of God that you've been holding on for. Just hold on. He says, and all he had to do is just speak the word. Not pray, just speak the word. And it would be done because every demon would have to obey him. Do you believe that tonight? Every demon will obey God. It has to. Everything obeys God. No, wait just a minute. Surely I'm reading that wrong. And it will obey you if you have faith. Joshua stopped the sun. Is that true? Somebody said all things are possible with God. But all things are possible to you also. Nothing's impossible to them that believe. All things are possible. Brought right down and made you. He says, oh, if you just knew who God was. Well, I'm afraid the church doesn't know their authority. I'm afraid that the Holy Ghost born men don't realize their authority. Or the authority that God has permitted to his church. I will give unto thee the keys to the kingdom. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loose. I give you power over. So how many times does he say you? You power. You have the keys. You have authority. And of all kinds of diseases. Oh, everything and nothing shall harm you. Exercise your faith. And I love how he ends it. Let it loose. I believe there's a bride on the earth today that's ready to just let it loose. I'm tired of people trying to bind the moving of the Spirit, trying to move, bind power in the church. We need people who will stand up and say, just let it loose, God. Just flow through this place. Let your train fill the temple just once more, Lord. Just turn it loose in your life. You'll never be left holding the bag. You'll never be made ashamed. You'll never be embarrassed. Because if you'll just let it loose and you'll hold God to his word, he will meet you. The prophet told you. He is the word. So when a spirit born, I know y'all know these quotes, but they're the truth. They're the truth tonight. He is the word. So when a spirit born, spirit filled man in faith takes that word into his heart, places it upon his lips, why, it's the same as deity speaking. Every mountain has to go. Satan cannot stand before that man. I tell you what, I feel like the mouse that fell in the big tub of wine right now. Where is that devil at? He said the devil cannot stand before that man. What you fearing for? What you worried about? Take the word of God and put it on your lips. Speak the word. Don't back down. There's no backing down in this bride. There's no retreat. There's no surrender. We're onward Christian soldier. Onward Christian soldier. Marching as to war. This bride will not be stopped. We will not be stopped until one day he saw us start walking up. Oh, hallelujah. Going up in a rapture. Hallelujah. God, don't just let this be a quote. It's got to be a reality. Say, Lord, today, be it unto me. Be it unto me, Lord. So we saw in our opening scripture that it came to pass in the process of time that Israel sighed and cried by the reason of their taskmasters. And God heard their cries and he remembered his promise. The book of Acts tells us that the time of the promise had drawn nigh. There was a promise of a deliverer in Egypt. And the time came for him to step on the scene. Look, they had reached the time of deliverance. Listen, recognize something here. The defeat of Pharaoh. The destruction of Israel. The destruction of Egypt. The deliverance of Israel. These things were all going to happen. It wasn't up for debate. They weren't sitting around arguing quotes. None of it was uncertain because God had already told Moses, I am come down to deliver them. It was settled at that moment right there. He said, I will send you, I will be with you, and you will lead them to this mountain to worship. Look, it was done, it was settled, but it did not happen overnight. It didn't. Listen to the prophet right here. He says, there was a Pharaoh who raised up who did not know Joseph. And that was the beginning of the beginning. That was the beginning of the Exodus. Amen. Wait, no, I thought the Exodus was that day they packed up and the Passover and they marched out joyously. No. That was the beginning of the Exodus. Amen. So what we recognize is that the Exodus was a process. There were struggles. There was burdens, there was hardships, there were hard times. Look, in the midst of Laodicea and all that you're going through, don't lose sight of the fact of where we're at. Don't lose sight of the fact that the Exodus has already begun. All right, don't lose sight of the fact of the shout and the voice and the trump. The time of deliverance had arrived for those in Israel. Look, despite the struggles, despite the hardships, despite all the impersonations. Why the impersonations? What was Janice and Jambri's job? They rose up and did the things that they did to try to cheapen the acts of God that Moses had done. And that's why you saw, even in Brother Branham's day, all of a sudden all these impersonators rise up around the country, rise up around the world. The whole point was to try to cheapen what it was that God was doing through the prophet of Malachi 4. To try to keep people, the whole point of Janice and Jambres was to keep people bound in Egypt. And so the whole point of all the others that rose up in Brother Branham's day was to keep them in denominations because they would go, well, I don't have to follow that message because we have a man in our church doing the exact same thing. We have a man with a gift in his hand and we have a man praying for the sick. And so you saw Janice and Jambres manifested once again in our day by the ministries that would rise up and ride on Brother Branham's coattails into the divine healing movement. But despite those impersonations, despite the hardships and despite the trials, there was a word that said, I am come down to deliver the people. And I want you to know that today, despite the hardships you're going through, despite all the things that's been piled upon you, despite the fact that there's sickness and struggle and depression and anxiety and things that try to attack your mind, there is a word that has been spoken over you that says, I will have a church without spot or wrinkle. And nothing's going to change that word. Nothing's going to make God go back on it. There's a message that's been preached over you. And despite what you're going through, don't lose sight of the fact that we are in the process of His coming. Don't lose sight of the fact that there's a shout gone forth. The voice has gone forth, and it won't be long, and we're going to be gone forth. We're going home with Him. We are in the process of His coming. The coming of the Lord is a process. We are in the coming of the Lord. We have reached the time of His coming, and yes, there's trials and sickness and battle. And despite all that, Satan will be overcome. Despite his best efforts, he can't stop it because it's a predestinated moment, a predestinated time, and the word has gone forth. The word has declared the time of the promise has drawn nigh. So what are we to do at this point? Just before the Exodus, just before the actual leaving of the bondage to go to the promised land, how are we to carry ourselves? What was the example that was set before us? How should we operate? Sometimes I think that we get this a little bit backwards. And I think we've allowed Satan to convince us that he's in control of everything since we're in his Eden. This is Satan's Eden. And I believe sometimes we allow him to tell us that that we have to be beat down, that we have to have these fears. You know, we live in a world that sells sickness. Every day where I'm from, they're building a new Walgreens and CVS on this side, Walgreens on this side, Rite Aid over there, and then the street pharmacist on the other corner. There's a pharmacist on every single corner where I'm from, and they sell sickness. And you begin to believe, yeah, I have to be beat down with this. I mean, anxiety, that's just normal. People have depression. People go through these things. And we begin to allow the enemy to convince us that since we're here and we're still in these earthly bodies, that we have to have these things upon our life and that there's not anything we can do with it. And I want you to know that that's absolutely a lie. There's no truth to that whatsoever. He makes you think, I'm going to struggle the whole way. I'm going to be tormented every day of my life. If I make it, I'm going to barely make it in. And listen, I want to tell you tonight that that's not the truth, because this bride is going to be an overcomer. Because in Revelation, it says, to him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me on my throne. The truth is that we're on speaking terms again with the Lord Jesus Christ. The truth is that the pillar of fire is back in the church once again. The truth is that flesh once again has manifested the Lord Jesus Christ in this day. The truth is that we're fighting a defeated foe. The truth is, you know what? You need to remind the devil tonight that he doesn't even have the keys to his own house. You are fighting a defeated enemy. The Lord Jesus Christ opened the door. He kicked him back in, snatched the keys of death, hell, and the grave off his side. You're fighting a homeless enemy tonight. He doesn't even have a place to rest his head. Remind him tonight. Remind him tonight. You are the bride of Jesus Christ. He is nothing but a fallen angel that's been cast down from heaven. And he hates you because he wants your position, but he can't have it. Hold fast that which you have. He can't have it tonight. Operate from that position of authority through the man Christ Jesus, which we know was God manifested in flesh. Satan's kingdom was tormented at every turn. Everywhere Jesus went, Satan was cast down. Every demon that Jesus faced, he cast out. Death was defeated. Look, everywhere he went, he tormented devils. That's exactly what he did. And here we are once again. God in flesh. And the devil wants you to accept him tormenting you. Look, that's not the example that we had set before us. That's not what Jesus did. That's not how Jesus operated. And if we're to manifest Jesus, listen, I'm going to say this the nicest way I know how. Because people get caught up in parts of things. And the part they may have is a truth. But they don't tell. Look, I get really tired of the, well, we're supposed to manifest Jesus, which means we have to just love everybody and just accept everybody and put a, that is a part of it. There's a part that Jesus, well, whatever happened to loving somebody so much that you deal with the issues in their life and you tell them what's wrong in their life in a Christ-like spirit. Listen, Jesus did love everybody, but the Jesus I read about in my Bible also platted a whip. He also called people serpents and generations of vipers. Jesus also operated in that way. There's a lot of people in the message wouldn't like that now, but that's how Jesus operated, and he went around and he cast out demons when he found it in somebody's life. He didn't pet it and go, it's okay, brother, everybody, you'll grow out of it. No, you won't. That thing will take you straight to hell. You ain't going to grow out of that pornography addiction and that rubbing on makeup and wearing ungodly clothes. You're not going to grow out of it. You need a new birth is what you need, and you need somebody to tell you that's what you need. And when you get the new birth, you won't have to worry about that stuff anymore. You won't have to grow out of it. It'll be burned out of you. You won't have no taste for it anymore. You won't tolerate it anymore. It's time we manifest that Jesus to a dying world. It's gotten to the point now where I can't tell the difference between some message believers and the UPC. And that's just the truth. We do love people. We love them enough to tell them, if you don't change, you're going to go to hell. If you don't change, you're going to be left behind. We do believe in loving everybody, but it's not some sappy hippie love. That's how the church ends up the cage of every unclean and hateful bird. You let all those spirits come in and you don't deal with it. You just let it sit on the pew, and that's okay. No, we deal with those things. We call right, right, and wrong, wrong, and we preach the word, and the word says you need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. We are to display the life of Christ. How's that? By doing the same thing he did. John 14:12. The works that I do shall you do also, even more shall you do. Listen, I feel like Satan's had enough time tormenting you. Deal with it. Quit letting him be your little pet demon. It's okay. It's okay. No, it's not okay. Look, Satan's not your friend. Satan's not your pal. He's had enough time of playing the tormentor. He's had enough time being the oppressor. He's had enough time being the slave driver. Look, the devil will whip on you every chance he gets. He'll beat on you. The children of Israel were beat daily. Pharaoh played the part of tormentor for a time. He played the part of tormentor for a time. But then the time of the promise drew nigh. That's the part I love about it. The pillar of fire came on the scene. I believe that's happened in our day. The word of the Lord came to a prophet. I know that's happened in our day. And it began to change who the tormentor was. Suddenly things were about to change. Listen, look, Moses came into that presence. But under the blood of bulls and goats, that presence couldn't come into him. You have a greater experience if you're baptized today in the baptism of the Holy Spirit than Moses ever had. He came in contact with the word. You are the spoken word bride of Jesus Christ in this last day. Let that revelation get down deep in your heart one time. Then you'll go about Father's business. Let that sink down under the fifth rib, and then you won't have any more doubts and worries and struggles with the things of the world. You'll say, I'm on my way to Canaan's land. I'm leaving this old place. My appetite for the things of the world have been lost. They've been torn off of me. He has no hold on me. Let that sink down who you are. Moses, under the blood of bulls and goats, went down to Satan's kingdom, and he began to plague him, just as we're going to do before we leave this world. Just before the Exodus, the children of Israel began to cry out, tired of the bondage of Pharaoh, sick of slavery, sick of taskmasters, sick of losing their children to the crocodiles. How many of y'all are sick of seeing our children devoured out in the world? Sick of the world. And Brother Brown talks about Amram. Says he began to pray the promises of God. He got tired of seeing these things. He began to call on a deliverer, and he began to pray. We need some Amrams in this message today. And look around and say, I'm sick and tired of what I see going on. I'm sick and tired of this world. There's a promise, and I'm ready for you to fulfill it, Lord. And he began to call on God to fulfill the promises that he had promised. And look, things were bad. Things are bad now. Things are real bad, but that's not to be our focus. The enemy wants you to come in and point. Look, guys, I read the news. I do. But some of us get so caught up in reading the news every day. And I don't care if it's CNN or Fox News or whatever news you listen to. Ain't none of it the truth, because it ain't my message. All right, and the point of all that is to get your eyes on the winds and the waves, as it were. As long as Peter was looking at Jesus, he was walking on water. But when you begin to see all the filth in the world, that's a mighty big wave. And when you see all the crime, that's a mighty big wave. And you get to looking around, and it does not produce faith. Okay, so just be careful how much you feed on these things. There's nothing, I'm not telling you not to stay up to date on modern events. I'm not telling you, I'm just telling you, be careful how much you consume that. When you read Fox News more than you do the good news, you got a problem. When you sit there and stream Fox News videos more than you listen to the message, you got a problem. Because you're getting yourself acclimated to the world that you live in order to stay here. But my God didn't send me a message so that I can stay here. He gave me something to feed on to increase my strength, increase my courage, increase my faith, that when that day comes, I'm going to leave here and go with him. I don't care how bad this world's get. I ain't planning on staying here much longer. The devil thinks he's tearing me down and pushing me down, but all he's doing is making me sicker and sicker of this place, and I'm getting one step closer to glory every single day because there's nothing back there for me to eat. I don't want it. Israel was tormented daily, constantly. The one, though, who had done the whipping, the one who had done the maiming, the one who had destroyed their children, now he was the one that was about to have the wrath of God poured out upon his head. His kingdom was about to be plagued. How? How? Look, there was a word in Genesis 15:13, and he said unto Abram, know of a surety that thy seed shall be a stranger in a land that is not theirs, and shall serve them, and they shall afflict them 400 years. And also that nation whom they shall serve will I judge. There was a word spoken against Egypt before Israel ever went down there. That land will I judge, and afterwards shall they come out with the great substance. Look, Satan, you just don't know what's coming to you. You don't know what's right around the corner. I hear the prophet of God say, sure, right here in the last days, a predestinated church, knowing where they're standing, sowed with the seed, the Holy Spirit in the church. Satan, be careful. Satan, be careful. Listen, the tormentor is about to be tormented. The tormentor is about to have the plagues poured out upon his head once again, because that's exactly how the flesh operating under the word of God did before that Exodus, and it's the same thing that's going to happen in this Exodus. The plagues were about to be poured out. God was going to use the lips of a mortal man to plague and tear down the greatest kingdom that was on the face of the earth. Listen, I'm telling you tonight that no sickness you have gone through has gone unnoticed. No trial that you have borne is going unnoticed. No lost loved one has gone unnoticed. Nothing that you have been through has gone unnoticed. The Lord has been storing it up. He's been watching carefully. The devil has not got away with one thing that he's done against you. Every single thing's about to be repaid to him tenfold. Yea, 100-fold. I say 1,000-fold. It's about to be poured out. And how's God going to do it? You! He's going to do it with your lips, with mortal man once again taking the word of God on their lips and speaking in faith. You say, the scripture says, if you shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast into the sea, it shall be done. You say, look, recognize tonight the authority that you hold. You're going to have to speak. I can't speak to your mountain. Your mountain has to hear your voice. Take the word upon your lips tonight and begin to tear Satan's kingdom down. Look here, Exodus 6:6. Wherefore say unto the children of Israel, I am the Lord, and I will bring you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians, and I will rid you out of their bondage, and I will redeem you with a stretched out arm and with great judgments. And I will take you to me for a people, and I will be to you a God. And you shall know that I am the Lord your God, which bringeth you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians. And I will bring you in unto the land concerning the which I did swear to give to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. And I will give it to you for a heritage. I think we're starting to see that we're in pretty good hands. I'm going to do this. I am the Lord. Look, he promises judgment by his hand. You say, well, Brother Aaron, you said we're going to do this. Bear with me. He also spoke earlier in Exodus 3:20. And I will stretch out my hand and smite Egypt with all my wonders. See, these are of God. These are not of man. Which I will do in the midst thereof. And after that, he will let you go. But now, look over in Exodus 4:21. He's already said everything that's going to happen. And it's all going to be of God. But he says, and the Lord said unto Moses, when thou goest to return into Egypt, see that thou do all those wonders before Pharaoh. But I thought they were of God. They are of God. But he has no hands but your hands. He has no feet but your feet. He has no flesh but your flesh. No lips but your lips. They are of God. They are his works. They are his wonders. It is his power. But he's going to use you to manifest it. He says, see that thou do all the wonders before Pharaoh, which I have put in thine hand. He has put them in thine hand. But I will harden his heart that he shall not let the people go. So, of course, these wonders are of God. Wonders, miracles, they're all the power of God. They all belong to him. But who was it that was going to show these signs and wonders? It was Moses. Brother Branham says, and Moses, under the blood of that goat sheep, walked out there and took that stick, reached towards the east. Thus saith the Lord, let there be flies. Never heard a fly. Walked on back. It's already spoke. It's a thought. Now it's spoke. It's expressed. It's the word of God then. It come into a human lips. A simple man under the blood of a bull or goat. First thing you know, a green fly began to fly around. That's that grain of sand that fell off the backside of the mountain. A green fly began to fly around. The next thing you know, there were 5 pounds per yard. What was it? Was the word of God spoken through Moses, the creator, because under the blood he was standing in the presence of God. Now listen to this. And his own words wasn't his words. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, then ask what you will. It shall be given to you. Where's the church standing at? Think about that tonight. He goes on to say, let there be frogs, and there wasn't a frog in the country. In an hour's time, they were 10 foot deep in places. What was it? It was God, the creator, hiding himself in a simple man. I want to ask you something, and we're going to pose this question to you tonight. If the blood of a bull or a goat be used for a bleach which can only cover, could put a man in position to speak the creative word of God and bring flies into existence, why should you stumble at the bleach of Jesus Christ's blood who could speak a squirrel or something into existence? People say, well, I just don't, you know, I mean, why would God, you know, speak squirrels or a little fish? It's all through the Bible. He spoke lice. He spoke flies. He spoke frogs. He did it all the time. What Brother Branham told us in this day and showed us in this day wasn't some man's figment of imagination. It matched perfectly with the Bible. It matched perfectly with the word of the Lord. There's no reason to doubt it or stumble at it. He used a man to plague Satan then. He's going to use man to plague Satan now. It's what Jesus did when he was here on earth. 1 John says, for this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. The Son of God was manifested, and now we are the manifested sons of God. I believe tonight that I'm bone of his bone. I believe tonight that by the new birth I'm flesh of his flesh. I believe tonight that by his birth, by the new birth, we are him. Called, chosen, placed, and elected, and given the authority to operate every promise that's in the word of God. Look, God came down to deliver Israel. God came down to show judgment against Egypt. Amen. He came down to show that gods of that evil age, that the gods of that evil age were powerless before him. Amen. And I know I'm driving this home and driving it home. I think that's because I teach sixth graders. They don't listen well. So I have to say things a lot. Y'all forgive me. But how did he do it? Flesh. Flesh. And I believe that he's going to overcome every demon of Laodicea. And how's he going to do it? Flesh. He's going to do it once again through sons and daughters of the living God. Exodus 7:1 says, and the Lord said unto Moses, see, I have made thee a god to Pharaoh. Now listen, he didn't say I've made you a god over your brothers so that you can legislate their holiness and tell them how they should operate their church and tell them exactly how this should go. And I don't... He said, I made you a god to Pharaoh. We need to quit trying to lord over one another. We have a Lord. Amen. We have a God. We have a message that'll take care of itself. It'll set itself straight. Sometimes we just need to back off and let people, let God deal with people. Okay? We're not their lords. He said, I've made you a god to Pharaoh. He's made each and every one of you a god over the gods of this evil age. Then as gods... it's time we do God things. Think about that for a minute. We're gods. It's time we do God things. It's time we quit walking. Look, I don't believe that Jesus Christ walked around going, it's so hard. It's so hard. I can't believe it. I don't have any friends.
my head. It's so difficult. No, sir. God in flesh had his shoulders back, his head held high, because he knew who he was. He knew where he stood. He knew what promises belonged to him. He knew that his treasures were not of this earth. So what, you had a bad day? We've all had bad days. I'm sorry for you, but hold your head up and say, I'm a son of God. I'm not going to walk around and get mad because somebody didn't like my Facebook picture or somebody blocked me off of Instagram. I really don't care about all those things. Matter of fact, those things are pretty stupid if you ask me. How about we get focused on what's important tonight? And that's that we're the bride of Jesus Christ, the spoken word bride. And there are promises upon promises upon promises that has been heaped upon you. And they're yours tonight. You don't have a reason to be sad. Your sadness and your gloominess is a slap in the face of Almighty God, who's done so much for you. He's done so much for me. I don't have a right to be down tonight. I don't have a right to be upset tonight. He's been nothing but good to me. It's time to put the word in action. Third pool people doing third pool things. That's where I believe we're standing tonight. Time for us to go on the attack and speak to our mountain. It's time to rule the demons who have tried to rule you. It's time to suppress the suppressors and oppress the oppressors. It's time to stand up for what's rightfully ours. Look, you've been put through a lot. I get it. We all have. This world ain't easy, but it's your time. You've been put through a lot, but now it's your time. You've been put through lots of things, and the enemy hasn't been easy on you. I understand that this life ain't always easy. There are hard times. I'm not trying to be heartless. I promise you, I know what it's like to go through trials. But it's your time. It's about time we're going to step out of these old fleshy things and everything we ever went through, every tormenting spirit, every time we struggled, every time the oppression tried to come upon us, every time we stayed up all night praying and worried about our children. It'll be worth it all. One glimpse of his sweet face. Just one moment in the presence of the living God. One moment standing there seeing the one who died for me and gave his all. One moment with the one who busted open the prison door and said that I could go free, a rank sinner. He opened up one moment in that presence. It's your time. We're right here at it. We're right here at the moment where time is going to give way to eternity. Just hold on a little longer, little church. Testimony of a True Witness, 1961. It's God living in men. Deity, God himself, tabernacled into that person. When he can speak, and it's just the same as God speaking, that's the church of Jesus Christ. That's the church of Jesus. These aren't my words. This is your prophet speaking. Crying to your mountain ain't going to help. Crying in the middle of a battle ain't going to help. This, I'm going to give a testimony. I'll probably give a couple of them before I'm done. But there was a time, I can't remember how long ago it's been. Brother Joe, how long was it Sister Karen had her brain bleed? Been about two and a half years. My mother-in-law, Brother Timothy, Sister Lydia's mom. I won't go through all the details, but she basically had a massive brain bleed, stroke. I don't know. They kind of are the same thing, kind of not. I don't know. But anyway, when she got to the first hospital, Brother Joe works at that hospital, and the doctor came to him privately and said, Joe, it don't look good. They said that the brain bleed was the size of a saucer. This is the size of a saucer. So they quickly transported her to a bigger hospital, a hospital that could deal with those situations better. And we got there, and the family was gathered there. And the doctor, whatever his position is, I'll just call him the doctor, came out and he talks to Brother Tim and he addresses the situation. He lays out all the facts. Well, guys, the facts ain't always the truth. All right? So he lays out all the facts. He tells us the situation. Brother Tim, I know inside it probably wasn't easy to hear. I know inside he didn't want to hear that report. He just nodded. I'll never forget it. The whole family was there. But Timothy was there. Lydia was there. Sister Ruth. Different other ones here. He turned around. He says, y'all gather around me. So we gather around. He said, we have been trained for moments like this. He said, we will not fear. We will not disbelieve. And then I'm just going to tell you what happened. He said, tonight she will be in the ICU. Tomorrow night, she will be moved to a regular room, and on the third night, she'll sleep in her own bed. Glory. And I'm here to report to you that what the doctor said was impossible, and the fact that she was going to be there no telling how long, the fact that she may not ever recover, she may not ever get her sight back, on the third day she was sleeping in her bed because a man took the spoken word. He put it upon his lips. He was moved in that moment to speak those things. And he spoke it just as I said it, and it came to pass exactly how I said it. And I want to tell you, I want to continue that testimony. I just feel to go this way for a minute. A few days later, or weeks later, it had been a while, and she had gotten a lot of her health back, but her vision had not come back. And she was struggling with that, and she was still having a hard time getting up and down and taking care of herself, getting to the restroom and things like that. And she was sitting there laying in her bed, and she was pondering her future, like many of us do when we're going through things, and she was feeling sorry for herself. And you would think that she, if any of us had a right to, she probably just, she couldn't see. Her vision had not come back, and she was sitting there, and one of her eyes was blurry, and I don't remember all the exact details. But also sitting at the foot of her bed was a little baby named Drew Dexter. How old was Drew? 18 months. Drew Dexter had never crawled. He had never been able to pull himself up. He had an underdeveloped hip. So walking obviously wasn't an option. He couldn't crawl. He could do none of those things. He was sitting at the foot of her bed, and she began to change her attitude, and she began to think on all that God had done for her. And she began to raise her hand sitting there in the bed, and she began to thank God, and she began to praise God, and she began to tell you, I love you, Lord Jesus. You've done so much for me. You've saved me when I was lost. You've healed me. You're my healer. You're my deliverer. Regardless, Lord, I'm going to serve you. I'm going to love you. I believe you're my healer. And about that time, the power of the Holy Spirit swept through that house. And when it did, she raised up under the anointing of the Holy Spirit. She was completely healed. And in that moment, at the foot of the bed, an 18-month-old who had never crawled, never pulled himself up, stood to his feet and ran all over that house in a moment right there under the power of a living God. The power of a living God. That little boy is my nephew, and he's walking today and running today and playing today as good as any other child because of the power of a living God, because of people that recognize he's not a dead God. He didn't die some 50, 60 years ago. He's a present God. He's an ever-present help in the time of need, and he's in this building tonight for whatever you have need of, and it's time that you begin to take the word of God upon your lips, and you begin to speak to your enemy and say, God, you are a good God, and you have provided everything that I have need of. Now, Satan, take your hands off of my promise. Take your hands off of everything that God has given me. I'm not going to sit back. I'm not going to lay down. I'm not going to give up. There's too much, God, that you've done for me. I've never seen you defeated. And I am your child. And I'm not going to be defeated. I'm going to stand on your word. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The devil can't stand before that man. The devil can't stand before that man. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. He can't stand before you. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I'm going to move quickly now. I'm going to start bringing this down. We know the story. Pharaoh began to make things more difficult after Moses commanded him to let Israel go. Look, it may not happen instantly. Sometimes things get worse. The scripture says, and Moses returned unto the Lord and said, Lord, wherefore hast thou so evil entreated this people? Why is it that thou hast sent me? For since I came to Pharaoh to speak in thy name, he hath done evil to this people. Neither hast thou delivered thy people at all. Remember, the Exodus was a process. The coming of the Lord is not a moment in the twinkling of an eye event. The body change is a moment in the twinkling of an eye event. But the coming of the Lord is a process. We are in that process. So the Exodus was ongoing, and they're at the very time of deliverance, and Moses, Pharaoh begins to make things harder than ever before. He begins to attack with more unbelief, trying to get you to quit. And look, he's pushed some of you even today. He's worked on some of you even today. He's pushed on some of you even this week, trying to make you wonder, is this for me? Should I keep going? Should I keep fighting? He's beginning to pile things up in your life, and you just don't feel like you can bear it. He's battled you all week, and he's trying to get your eyes off the promise. But don't look to it. Tonight, look away to Jesus. He's the author and the finisher of your faith. Remember, deliverance, your deliverance, I believe, is at hand. Your healing is at hand. I believe the rapture of the church is at hand. And the conditions for this exodus, they've been set. And I believe we can go back and hear the prophet of God say that the move is on for the bride. And he says, that's thus saith the Lord. So we know that we're in the process of his coming. And it's right at this time that Pharaoh begins to pile more and more burdens on them. Listen, Satan's bondage is cruel. It says in Exodus 6:9 that they children of Israel hearken not unto Moses for anguish of spirit and for cruel bondage. Listen, young people, don't play around with the devil. Older people, whoever you are, don't play with him. His bondage is cruel, and he's not there to help you, but he only wants to destroy your life. But upon being commanded to let my people go, Pharaoh replies, who is the Lord? See, Egypt had many gods, and so Pharaoh is saying, who is the Lord? In other words, I got my own gods. Why should I listen to you? Right. He says, who is he? Well, he's soon going to find out. Right. Yeah. He's about to find out exactly who he is. And the Egyptians, like many pagan cultures, worshipped a wide variety of nature gods and attributed to their powers the natural phenomenon that they saw in the world around them. And so there was a god of the sun, of the river, of childbirth, of crops. So in saying, who is the Lord? You know, he's basically saying, he's making a challenge. Is your God more powerful than all my gods? I mean, what's he going to do? You got one God. Whoopee, I got thousands of them. You know, and he's being very, very, can't think of the right word, but very arrogant towards my, who is your God? Who is your God? You know, that I should listen to him. Is your God more powerful than me? Dumb devil. I tell you what, he can say some stupid stuff sometimes. I'm going to go through a few of these quickly. I'm going to talk to you about the plagues. The first plague, the turning the Nile to blood, was a judgment against Apis, the god of the Nile. I'm going to skip a lot of this, but just to get to the point. The second plague, bringing frogs from the Nile, was a judgment against Heket, the frog-headed goddess of birth. The third plague, gnats, was a judgment on Set, the god of the desert. The fourth plague, flies, was a judgment. I can't pronounce that devil's name. He's like some of those sicknesses. He falls under all. He falls under all. He was the fly god, and he got plagued. That's all I know. The fifth plague was the death of livestock. It was a judgment on the goddess Hathor and the god Apis, who were both depicted as cattle. The sixth plague, bulls, was a judgment against several gods over health and disease, Sekhmet, Sunu, and Isis. The seventh plague, hail, attacked Nut, the sky goddess, Osiris, the crop fertility god, and Set, the storm god. The eighth plague, locusts, again focused on Nut, Osiris, and Set. And the later crops, the wheat and rye, which had survived the hail, were now devoured by the swarms of locusts. So now there would be no harvest in Egypt that year. The ninth plague, darkness, was aimed at the sun god Ra, who was symbolized by Pharaoh himself. For 3 days, the land of Egypt was smothered in unearthly darkness, but the homes of the Israelites had light. Oh, I love that. The tenth and last plague, the death of the firstborn males, was a judgment on all Egyptian gods, including Pharaoh himself. So what was God doing is he was making the gods of the world bow down before him. 1953, Brother Branham says, and what was that rod that Moses had in his hand? It's Jesus' name in the church today. So if Moses would take that rod and make the gods of the world bow down, why don't we take the name of Jesus tonight and stretch it forth over that depression? Stretch it forth over that anxiety. Stretch it forth over that god of pornography that's tried to hold you bound. Stretch forth the name of Jesus and call for your victory tonight. Stretch forth the name of Jesus and see once again that our God that defeated the gods in that day will defeat the gods of this day, because he is the same yesterday and today and forever. Look, we live in a world that serves many gods, and they may say, who is your God? They are about to find out. One of these days, between 6 and 9, I'm going to take my flight, and they're going to know who my God is. But before that happens, I'm going to torment that devil every opportunity that I get. Moses stood against the gods of that generation. He stood in the line of duty. And Brother Branham, I'm not going to read all this because it's too much, but he speaks about how he never once feared Pharaoh. Because once you recognize what you're commissioned for, there is no fear. Once you recognize who you are, there is no fear. That's where we're at. That's who we are. And that's the power that we must operate in. We find Jesus constantly tormenting the devil and plaguing him. In our opening scripture, we read the account of Legion from Matthew and from Mark. A tormented soul. A prisoner. A slave. Tormented by demons. He was under a different type of slavery than Israel had been under. dare I say, that he was under the type of slavery that many of us have been under before. Maybe the type of slavery that you're dealing with here tonight. Maybe you're not lost. Maybe you're not out of your mind like Legion was. But maybe there's a demon of depression or anxiety or some type of fear or something that's chained itself to you. Maybe there's a sickness that's attached itself to you. Maybe a spirit of fear, a spirit of unbelief, whatever it's called, it's a cruel taskmaster is what it is. It's a taskmaster. And we know that Legion's story, how he dwelt in the tombs and nothing could tame him, the scripture says, and he was completely bound by Satan. But look, I believe in a God that hears the faintest heart's cry. He hears the faintest heart's cry. Maybe one night he came to himself just long enough to whisper, God, help me. Lord, help me. Maybe that's all it was, but that's all it took. And Jesus crossed the sea for that one needy soul because it was time. Because it was his predestinated moment. Listen, I believe it's time tonight. And he showed up in this service tonight, and we joke about it, but it's the truth that's been set in place for 19 months. And we've arrived at a predestinated moment. And it's your moment tonight. If there's something holding you, you've arrived at your moment. You've stepped into the prophecy, as it were. You've stepped into a predestinated moment. It wasn't earlier today at lunch, but it's right now. And here we are. Time has ticked, slow but sure, and we're standing here in this moment in the presence of a living God. And I don't know what you're dealing with, but you know what it is. You know your situation. And those demons had chained themselves to Legion. They had completely bound him and they chained themselves. That's what they do. But I believe when they chain themselves to believers, they make a dreadful mistake. They make a dreadful mistake, because do you think for one minute that those demons wanted to be in the presence of Jesus? No, absolutely not. Those demons like to hide in the tombs and hide behind fear and hide behind unbelief and hide behind anxiety and hide in the darkness and hide behind doubt. But don't let them hold you back in this service here tonight. Those taskmasters that would want you to believe that they have control, they don't have control over you. All right? They want you to believe that you can't be healed. They want you to believe that you can't be delivered. And they beat you down and they torment you. And that's exactly what they did to Legion. They beat him daily. And Brother Brown said he might come to himself for just a minute, but then they would pull him back under. And he would run around, rip his clothes off, break chains, and do all those things. But everything was about to change because it was time. Everything was about to change because it was time. Listen, Legion fought through all of that. I know many times Brother Branham tells us that Legion would ran out there crazy, and he would come out there to tear Jesus apart. And he says that in quite a few places. But I found this quote so encouraging, because, see, to be delivered, you have to want to be delivered. I don't have time to go into all the testimonies of the things that happened at camp and the spirits that we battled there this year. But the common thread amongst all those people that were delivered is they desperately wanted to be delivered. They desperately wanted to be delivered. And when you get yourself in that condition where you're sick and tired of being bound, where you're sick and tired of being held down, and you want deliverance, God will meet you there. Brother Branham says he cared when the neurotic called Legion cared enough under opposition to wiggle out from under those tombstones of devils and get out there to meet Jesus and throw himself prostrate. When Legion, them devils would have never come if Legion hadn't have pushed his way out there to meet him. You see, those demons didn't want to come into the presence of Jesus. Those demons would have never come out there, but Legion drug them there. Now, how was he able to drag them there? Why'd they go with him? They had chained themselves to him. They had chained themselves to him in the very chains that were intended to be his demise. The very chains that were intended to be his death. He now uses those chains to drag those demons into the presence of a living God. See, the chains that bound him now drug those spirits into the presence of God. And now he talked a little bit about history. I'm going to give you a short history lesson. There was a Greek king in ancient times named Mezentius. And he was known to be hateful and cruel, and he was a master on the battlefield, great warrior. But he's remembered in history as the one who used the body of death torture. And I don't know if you know anything about the body of death torture, but he used it as a form of punishment to those that he wished to slowly kill. And if you were captured in battle, they would take a corpse, a fresh killed corpse, and they would chain it to the prisoner, face to face, arm to arm, leg to leg. And they would chain you to it. And of course, the prisoner would struggle. He would try to shake free, but after a while, it was useless. And you would begin to give in to the fact that you were stuck with this corpse. And oftentimes it was face to face, hand to hand, and you stared death in the face. And if you moved, it moved. If you rolled over, it rolled over. No matter what you did, you stared death in the face. It weighed you down. It depressed you until you yourself would begin to suffer the corruption of the corpse. And this was, it's known as one of the cruelest punishments, and it was agonizing, and you knew that you needed to be free. You wanted to be free. You could see that it was robbing the very life out of you, but what could you do? And see, this is what Satan does to you, is he comes and he attaches a sickness to you. He comes and he attaches this depression to you, and he puts it right here. And you want to be free. You know you need to be free. But it's all you can see is symptoms. You see symptoms everywhere. No matter where you go, if you move, it moves. When you get up, you feel that symptom. When you take a step, that symptom is there. And when you look this way, there's that depression staring you in the face. And when you look this way, there's anxiety taking over. And everywhere you go, and he's chained these spirits of hell to you. But you can't look at those things. You have to recognize that there's a word that has been spoken against those things. So even though I can't see, even though I can't do anything without seeing this depression, I am the Lord God that healeth thee. Even though I can't hardly do anything without this crippling anxiety coming over me, by his stripes I am healed. Even though there's fear weighing down on me, I know that the spirit of fear is not of God, but the spirit of peace and a sound mind. And you have to begin to confess what you don't see, because everywhere you turn, the body of death is upon you. Everywhere you go, the body of death is upon you, and he plagues you. But see, it's different with the child of God, because when the tables turn, he's chained to you. Brother Joe, will you come here for just a minute? I'm not speaking this on Brother Joe. He's awesome. But tonight, Brother Joe's depression. Go ahead and grab a hold of me. See, everywhere I go, everywhere I walk, I got to drag this weight around with me. And even though I may be, you know what, today I don't see it, but I feel it there. And he's there, and he's constantly, nobody loves me. God, why don't you love me? And he begins to control where I go. And soon I'm not controlling it, but depression takes me where depression wants to go. Or whatever yours, it may be anxiety, and it's just dragging you all over. But there comes a time. There comes a time where you finally start raising up and saying, I'm a son of God. I don't have to deal with this. And you begin to fight back. And it may not come real easy, but you begin to fight back and you begin to pull. And he don't give up, but I'm not giving up, because there's a word. There's a word. And I tell depression, I say, guess what, depression? I know it's Saturday night and I'd like to stay home, but depression, we're going to church. And so me and depression, no, depression, we're going to church. And me and depression go to church, and we sit there and we first sit down. Now listen, that demon don't want to go to church. But now that demon's in the house of God. And there ain't nothing he can do about it, because he's chained himself to me. He's chained to me. And the word begins to come forth. And I'm depressed, so I don't want to praise God. But slowly I say, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord, I'm going to. Yes, Lord, I'm going to praise you. I'm going to praise you. I'm going to praise you. And then I recognize the Spirit of God's in the place. And I drag that depression. He can't hold me no more. Drag depression. He can't hold you no more. Hallelujah. You're free. You're free tonight. Drag that spirit into the presence of a living God. Drag it to the feet of Jesus. Drag him there, and you will be set free. Hallelujah. Worship the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Worship him. He deserves praise. He deserves your honor. He deserves everything you can give him tonight. Turn the tables on the devil tonight. If he's chained you tonight, drag him into the presence of a living God. He says you're not going. You tell him you can't stop me. I have a promise. I'm a son of the living God. Let those chains that he intended to be your death be the very thing that drags him to his execution. Oh, he's trying to put the body of death upon you. But we have not come. This message did not come to ordain you to death. It ordained you to life eternal. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus.
I say unto my people, I say I've shot my arrows. Your deliverance is here. Except the arrows. I say unto thee, please. Please, Jesus. Glory, Hina, Shandidi, Kandidi, Shandalalalo, Hina, Nanana, Hina, Lalalalo, Hina, Nana, I say unto my people, I have delivered thee, I have sent thee, my spirit has come in a great, mighty way. I say, accept your deliverance. I say, stop the ground, accept the arrows that I have sent to thee. I say, walk in my ways, and I say, I will lift thee up far above these things. Yes. And I say unto thee, accept my deliverance in Jesus' name.
Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Thank you, Lord Jesus. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Lord Jesus, you're wonderful, Lord. Thank you, Lord God, that you hear the faintest heart cry. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for the arrow of deliverance, Lord God, that you sent us, Lord. Lord, thank you that your word is true, and Lord, that you are a living God. Lord, we worship you. We give you the praise, Lord God, that our lives can give you, Lord. You deserve so much, Lord. You deserve more than we can ever give you, Lord, but we pour out all that we have, Lord Jesus. Lord, may we not be bound by these little petty chains and petty differences, Lord God, but may we recognize we're standing on the brink of eternity, Lord Jesus. Lord God, you are right here in the midst of the coming of the Lord for your people, Lord. Lord, may we cast aside every weight that would so easily beset us now and run. Run and press, church, press towards the mark of the high calling. There is no time to wait. There's no time. Sometimes salvation is yours tonight. The Holy Ghost is yours tonight. The rapture is yours tonight. Peace is yours tonight. Joy is yours tonight. Hallelujah.
Jesus.
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Lord, thank you, Lord Jesus.
Lord God, we love you, Lord. Speak, Lord Jesus. Every God of Laodicea has been shown to be powerless in this age. Not just in the ministry of our dear brother William Branham, but he's powerless before the spoken word bride. Amen. Church, we are here on the scene just before the Exodus. It's time you take the word of God upon your lips. Amen. And you begin to plague him until he says, go. A Pharaoh began to try to negotiate and say, how about the men go? We ain't leaving a one behind. Amen. I'm going to plague that devil until he gets so sick and tired of me. Yes.
where he says, take your children, take your wife, take your stuff, take your family, take everything you want and get out of my kingdom. You take it. Take your rapture. Take your eternal life. Take your body change. You take whatever you want, but get out of my kingdom because you're not letting me enjoy it. I'm not going to let the devil enjoy a single day in his Eden. I'm going to plague him. I'm going to plague him until the day God calls me home. I'm going to plague him. It's time. Those demons told Jesus, why torment us before the time? Because they knew there was a day coming when they were to be tormented by flesh. They weren't speaking of the lake of fire. Yes, the taskmasters of Egypt were drowned in the Red Sea, but before that, they were tormented by flesh. They knew there was a day coming. They said, why before the time? They knew there was a day coming. They just didn't know it was going to be you that done it. They say tonight, Bride of Jesus Christ. Oh, they know who you are. Bride of Jesus Christ, I know who you are. Why comest thou to torment me before the time? Wrong again, devil. Amen. It's time. We've reached the edge of time and the blending of eternity. Let the winds of the Spirit begin to move in your life. Don't shut down on Him because you're not used to seeing Him operating this way. Just be reverent. Let Him speak to your heart. The God of heaven is in our midst right now.
Amen.
Prophet of God would say the great masterpiece of a family, the second Adam and the second Eve, now ready for the garden, the millennium, back on earth, hallelujah,
the great sculptor didn't leave them laying there. He took time, as he did through the millions of years, molding the first perfect couple, and they fell. Now it's been through thousands of years, and he's molded again. And now here they are, ready. The masterpiece was come and struck down from his side, come forth the helpmate. And she is brought up in the same process. Now here she is, back again. With all the nature, the Bible, and everything else showing, here we are. Nations are breaking. Israel is awakening. The signs that the Bible foretold. Gentiles' days numbered. With the horrors encumbered. Return, O dispersed, to your own. That's right. You better get in there quick if you're going. It's time. Church, it's time. There's a living God amongst us. I realize that we prayed for a lot of people last night, Brother Nathan. I just want to offer, though, in this presence, in this atmosphere, I'm not going to beg you. I understand. But if you need a chain broken, he's here. The pillar of fire is in our midst. If you need a chain broken off your life, I wouldn't walk out these doors. I wouldn't walk out of here until you know that you know that it's been settled. As the musicians would come, if you need prayer, we'll be glad to offer that to you tonight.
If you need prayer, come down around this way here and come down this side. His presence is here tonight. One thing I believe that they found with the prayer line there in Louisiana, many different manifestations of demonic spirits and things that were cast out. And one of the things they found over and over and over was that it wasn't enough for them just to rebuke the devil or for them just to say something in themselves. Oh, it was protecting them from the enemy, but for the people to get deliverance, they had to confess it themselves. Didn't say have somebody else speak to your mountain, but speak to your mountain tonight. Amen. You speak the word to your mountain. Speak deliverance. Speak victory over your mountain in your life. Don't depend on somebody else to do it. Don't wait for somebody else to do it, but you speak to that thing in your life that's held you back. But Bam said that man in Portland, Oregon, said the reason he wasn't delivered was because he didn't want to be delivered. He worshipped that devil that he was serving. Amen. But there's deliverance that can be had tonight. But you have to want it. Amen. You have to speak it. Speak to whatever your mountain is. God bless you tonight. I know there's many manifestations of tongues and interpretation, different things tonight. Maybe you're not used to that. But, you know, we believe the presence of God was here. And you know, some of them that spoke may have never even realized they had that gift in their life to do that. So the Ram teaches us that when a baby's learning to speak, you don't slap him in the mouth and slap him around and things like that. But we wait for God to place people in their gifts. Let's just join together with these brothers as they pray for these that have needs in their life. If pray as if it was somebody in your family that was up here that needed prayer. Lord Jesus.
We speak to you now. We tell you to take your lead. Take your hands upon this brother. You can't say you have no right to it. He has exposed you, and now you go in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. You lost every right you ever had that day on Calvary. You were stripped of every power. You have no right to sons and daughters of sinning God. And we stand before you now. We tell you the blood of Jesus is against you. The cross of Calvary is against you. And now you take your lead. You lose, our brother. We bind you in the name of Jesus, and we cast you out, and you lose, our brother, in the name of Jesus Christ. And now this body that's coming in here with sickness, we speak to the body. Now hear the word of the Lord, and may his thyroid level and all other things, Lord, just become normal now. In Jesus' precious name, Lord, for your glory, for your kingdom,
he is here. Hallelujah. He is here.
I lift up my hands to you. I claim those precious bloodstains.
reaches to the highest mountain. Oh, and it flows to the lowest valley. Oh, the blood that gives me strength from death.
To worship and to With all of my heart, you Touch me, and now I am no longer the same. Oh yes, he touched.
touch me.
Spirit. Jesus.
His presence on holy ground. Oh, we are standing on holy ground, and I know that there are angels all. Yes, we are standing on holy ground, and I know that there are angels all around. Let us pray. Yeah.
Can break every chain, Lord, break every chain. Oh, there's an army rising up. Yes, there's an army rising up. Break every chain. Oh, for there's power in the name of Jesus. I know there's power in the name of Jesus. Oh, there is power in the name of Jesus. Lord, break every chain. Break every chain. Hallelujah! Lord, break every chain. Break every chain. Maybe we can sing it this way. Oh, there's a bride, she's rising up. Oh, there's a bride, she's rising up. Oh, Lord, your bride, she's rising up. Lord, break every chain. Lord, break every chain. There is healing in the name of Jesus. every chain, break every chain, break every chain. Lord, break every chain, break every chain, break every chain. Oh, I can hear those chains are falling, and I can hear those chains are falling. Amen. Oh, I can hear. Thank you, Jesus. Yes, Lord, break every chain. Break every chain, break every chain. Lord, break every chain, break every chain, break every chain. Oh, there's an army rising up. Oh, there's an army rising up. Thank you, Jesus. There's an break every chain, break every chain. Lord, break every chain, break every chain, break every chain. Lord, I'm amazed that you love me. I'm so glad you found me.
glad I'm yours. So glad I'm yours, Lord. So glad I'm yours. So glad. I am free, free, free from this world of sin. Amen. I've been washed in the blood of Jesus. I've been born again. Hallelujah. I'm saved, saved, saved by His wonderful grace. Amen. Oh, I'm so glad that I found out He would bring me. Show me
The shout of the king is in the camp. Hallelujah. Amen. How many can say it's been good to be in church? Praise the Lord. My. You worried about your young people? You worried about your children? This is what your children need. This is what our young people need. This is what our families need. Some time in the presence of Jehovah is what we need. Amen. Each and every one of us. Oh, my. His presence makes everything better. You got sickness in your body, discouragement, whatever it is. I mean, we had all kinds of things come through the prayer line, prayer requests of people, different things, different needs. That's okay. Different people struggling with different things, facing different things, fighting different battles. But it doesn't matter what the name is, all of it's covered. Amen. All of it's covered in the name of Jesus. God bless you. Amen. Amen. I believe you don't have to go out of here the way you came in. Amen. Amen. Some entire families came through. Some of them came together. Some of them came one child and one parent and one thing at a time. But, goodness, the presence of God was here tonight. Amen. I know it's late. I know we got service in the morning. But let's sing this before we go. Maybe the devil tried to lie to you when you came in tonight. And said, oh, you're defeated. You're not going to get anything. Amen. But I believe, this is what I believe tonight. I'm going to take God at His word. Oh yes, oh yes, I'm a child of the King. Oh, for His royal blood, oh, it now flows through my veins. And I, who was wretched and so vile, now can sing praise. Praise God. Oh, I'm a child of. Oh, maybe this is how some of you used to be. Oh, once I was clothed in the wraps of my sins. Oh, I was wretched. I was poor. So lost and lonely within. But with His wondrous compassion, the great King of all kings, in His pity, oh, and great love, He took me under His wings. Oh, yes. Is this your testimony? Oh, I'm a child. Oh, the devil may have tried to lie to you, but His royal blood, oh, it now flows through our veins. And I, oh, who was wretched and so vile, now can sing, praise God, praise God. Oh, I'm a child of the King. Oh, and now I'm a child with a heavenly home. You see my holy Father, church, He has made me His own. And now I'm cleansed by His blood, and I'm clothed in His love. And someday I'm gonna sing with all the angels above. I'll sing, oh yes, oh yes. Oh, I'm a child of the King. For His royal blood now flows through my veins. And I, who was wretched and so vile, child of Praise the Lord. Amen. It's been good to be in church. Service tomorrow, so Sunday school for the 5-year-olds all the way up to the through 16-year-olds will be from at 10:30. Regular service at 11. If you don't have a home church here locally to go to, you're welcome to come back and join us in the morning, and just expect another outpouring of the Holy Spirit again. Amen. God's good, isn't he? I believe we'll hear testimonies back for a long time from these meetings. So we're only halfway through. We've had two services. We got two more to go. So, amen. What more is he going to do for us? Amen. It's almost 11 o'clock at night. So everybody try to, I know we're all going to want to fellowship and share testimonies, and that's okay for a few minutes, but try to get home and get in bed and come back in the morning. Try to let these preachers get some rest and let them get home so that they can minister to us in the morning and tomorrow evening as well. Let's just sing it as we go. God bless you, and you can be dismissed. Oh yes, oh yes, I'm a child of the King. Oh, his royal, it flows through my veins, and I, who was wretched and vile, thou can't see. Praise God, praise God. Oh, I'm a child of the King.